All right. What's up, you guys? You are listening to the What's Up in History podcast here on madmat.tv. It's a new podcast, kind of that I'm starting out. I've done podcasts before in the past. If you would go back on my channel, you've seen the Jurassic World podcast. I did one about Bohemian Rhapsody. And Jurassic World 1 kind of took off really fast about the new Jurassic World ride opening up at Universal Studios. I haven't heard much about that. I haven't really looked into it whatsoever. But I need to get back into doing that. So I haven't done a podcast in quite some time. I can't remember when the last one was. But I wanted to start out this little What's Up in History podcast. So, basically what's going to happen is I'm going to look for events that happened in history on, days of the week. So I'm trying to do like every day if I can, and, just picking out like three events that happened in history so you guys can follow along. And like, if it's, the same day that you're watching it or something, you can follow along and be like, oh my gosh, wow, this happened in history. I had no idea. I've actually found some really cool things, really cool events that have taken place, and I just want to, I'm going to do like three per podcast for you, and then pick three for the next podcast, and so on and so forth. So the first one that I got here, there's really three awesome events that happened in history that even I didn't know, and a little bit about why I want to do this. I love history. History has always been something that I enjoyed in high school. It was my favorite subject, learning about all kinds of things. And you guys know that I'm into the paranormal, so knowing history is pretty important. But I got one sitting right here in front of me, so I'm kind of just going to read it off of my tablet here and read what they got going on here. So, the first one, September 3rd, 1777, the Stars and Stripes flies in battle for the first time. I didn't even know that. That's actually kind of cool. The American flag is flown in battle for the first time during a Revolutionary War skirmish at Cooch's Bridge, Delaware. Patriot General William Maxwell ordered the Stars and Stripes banner raised as a detachment of his infantry and cavalry met an advance guard of British and Hessian troops. The rebels were defeated and forced to retreat to General George Washington's main force near Brandywine Creek in Pennsylvania. 3 months before, on June 14th, the Continental Congress adopted a resolution stating that the flag of the United States be 13 alternate stripes, red and white, and that the Union be 13 stars, white and a blue field, representing a new constellation. The national flag, which became known as the Stars and Stripes, was based on the Grand Union flag, a banner carried by the Continental Army in 1776 that also consisted of 13 red and white stripes. According to legend, Philadelphia seamstress Betsy Ross designed the new canton for the Stars and Stripes, which consisted of a circle of 13 stars and a blue-black background. At the request of General George Washington, historians have been unable to conclusively prove or disprove this legend. With the entrance of new states into the United States after independence, new stripes and stars were added to represent new additions to the Union. In 1818, however, Congress enacted a law stipulating that the 13 original stripes be restored and that only stars be added to represent new states. Oh, so basically they had the stripes first, and then they added the stars in 1818. Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. On June 14th, 1877, the first Flag Day observance was held on the 100th anniversary of the adoption of the Stars and Stripes. As instructed by Congress, the U.S. flag was flown from all public buildings across the country. In the years after the first Flag Day, several states continued to observe the anniversary, and in 1949, Congress officially designated June 14th as Flag Day, a national day in observance. That's actually really cool. I didn't even know that. I always thought, like, you see, like, the different flags and everything, how it's, like, the stars are in the circle and whatnot. I always thought that that was, like, a full thing. I don't even know that. So, apparently, it got changed before, so they had the stripes, And I'd have to go back on Google or something and like try and find out and see if see what the flag looked like in 1776, because I always thought it was like the stars and stripes and everything, but apparently I guess it's not. All right, so I got another one sitting in front of me. That was actually kind of cool. I actually learned something new there. I didn't know that. September 3rd, 1939, Britain and France declare war on Germany. So I have a few events that I picked out that I know the most about in history, and that's World War II, Civil War. I don't really go back further than that. I don't do the Revolutionary War. I don't do any of that, really. I don't do the Vietnam War because, I don't know, it's not something that really sparked my interest. But I know a lot about World War II. I know a lot about the Civil War, and the Battle of Little Bighorn, and all this, and I could go on and on and on about that. And that's kind of what this podcast is about, and it's about going back in history and finding things out that you maybe didn't know, or you did know. Like, if you're a history teacher or something, maybe you did know this stuff. All right, September 3rd, 1939, Britain and France declare war on Germany. On September 3rd, 1939, in response to Hitler's invasion of Poland, Britain and France, both allies of the overrun nation, declare war on Germany. It's about time. The first casualty of that declaration was not German, but the British ocean liner Athenia, which was sunk by a German U-30 submarine, or U-boats, in case you guys didn't know that. That had assumed the liner was armed and belligerent. There were more than 1,100 passengers on board, 112 of whom lost their lives. Of those, 28 were Americans, but President Roosevelt was unfazed by the tragedy, declaring that no one was to thoughtlessly or falsely talk of America sending its armies to European fields. The United States remained neutral. So we were attacked before. Okay. I know that America wanted to stay out of the war until 1941, when we were attacked at Pearl Harbor. We had no intention of joining World War II whatsoever. We wanted to stay neutral. We wanted to be out of the war. We didn't care whatsoever about it. That was Europe's problem. Hitler was Europe's problem. Mussolini was Europe's problem. Stalin was Europe's problem, or Russia's problem. And we had no care in the world. We didn't care whatsoever about it. We just wanted to be left alone. We were America. We wanted to be left alone. And then, so apparently, according to this, we actually did get attacked in 1939, which sank our Americans. But we were still like, okay, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to be part of this. You sank us. That we still have to like remain neutral. And then 1941 rolls around. Japan comes in, attacks Pearl Harbor, and that's kind of like our breaking point. As for Britain's response, it was initially no more than the dropping of anti-Nazi propaganda leaflets, 13 tons of them, over Germany. They would begin bombing German ships on September 4th, suffering significant losses. They were also working under orders not to harm German civilians. Why not? The German military, of course, had no such restrictions. France would begin an offensive against Germany's western border 2 weeks later. Their effort was weakened by a narrow 90-mile window leading to the German front, enclosed by the borders of Luxembourg and Belgium, both neutral countries, of course. The Germans mined the passage, stalling the French offensive. So yeah, we had zero interest in what was going on in Europe. We had no interest. We could honestly care less. And we knew that it was overseas. It wasn't our problem. We didn't care. And December 7th, 1941 rolls around, and we get that surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. So that's going to be another segment. That's going to be another podcast when December 7th rolls around. We'll cover more about Pearl Harbor and everything and whatnot. So we have the last event in the history today, my friends. I kind of I knew what I was going to do, so I kind of, like, jumped around and everything. And if you do go to, if you do want to learn more about this, you can go to thehistorychannel.com, or you can watch the History Channel. They have a lot of documentaries and everything that you can watch. But thehistorychannel.com has a really, really awesome feature. It's This Day in History. You can type in what day you want to see. And they handpick you, like, all kinds of things that happen. You can do crime, you can do politics, presidents, architecture, art, reading, poetry, science, and stuff like that. And they just, like, handpick you all this stuff. So that's kind of where I'm getting my information from. And it's also nice to have, like, the knowledge of this stuff so that you know, like, what's going on. All right, September 3rd, 1861. Confederate forces enter Kentucky. So I chose this one because it does reflect back to the Civil War. Like I said, I focus a lot on the Civil War. I focus a lot on World War II. I know a little bit about World War I. Not necessarily. I just know that it was really focused on European, like the French and stuff like that. I don't really focus too much on World War I. Again, I don't focus on the Vietnamese War. I know more about the Civil War, like from beginning to the end. And I just enjoy it very much. So I chose this one because, I saved the best for last, because it is focusing on the Civil War, and it is my favorite. And I just love learning about it. I love what happened, Gettysburg, and stuff like that. And we will get into that, Gettysburg, Little Bighorn, all this stuff, so get ready for that, you guys. All right, Confederate General Leonidas Polk commits a major political blunder by marching his troops into Columbus, Kentucky, negating Kentucky's avowed neutrality, and causing the Unionist legislature to invite the U.S. government to drive the invaders away. Kentucky was heavily divided prior to the war. Actually, yeah, it was. Although slavery was prevalent in the state, nationalism was strong, and Unionists prevented the calling of a convention to consider secession after the firing on Fort Sumter in South Carolina in April 1861. So this would have been, a few years before Gettysburg. Governor Beriah Magoffin refused to send troops to either side, and a special session of the legislature in the summer of 1861 issued a warning to both the Confederate and Union armies not to deploy forces in the state. Union Confederates alike recognized the folly of entering Kentucky into the war, as it would tip the delicate political balance to the other side. So it was a lot about, like, even like in the Civil War, the states just didn't want any part of it. They wanted to be away from the Union, they wanted to be away from everything else. Don't fire, don't do anything, just leave everybody alone, you know? President Abraham Lincoln, a Kentucky native who carefully observed the state's neutrality, soon realized that Confederates were acquiring resources and recruiting troops from the state. However, in three special elections held that summer, the Union cause had gained support. Kentucky's geographic location made permanent neutrality nearly impossible. Wow. The major rivers of the Upper South drained through the Ohio River through Kentucky, and the state had the country's ninth largest population. Oh, yeah. Because everybody moved in from, like, South Carolina, North Carolina, New York, and all this, and the 13 colonies, and they eventually moved westward. So they had the largest population, or the ninth largest population in the country. Wow. Troops on both sides began to build fortifications along the border in the opening months of the war, but the Confederates made a critical blunder when General Polk occupied Columbus, Kentucky on September 3rd. Columbus, Kentucky, yeah. This preemptive move against the forces of General Ulysses S. Grant, who waded across the Ohio River in Illinois, proved costly for the Confederates. Kentucky's Unionist legislature invited federal troops into the drive away the invaders, and on September 6, Grant occupied Pidaca and Southland at the mouths of the Tennessee and Cumberland Rivers, respectively. These are vital positions that allowed the Union a tremendous advantage in the contest for Kentucky and Tennessee. During the war, some 50,000 white and 24,000 black Kentuckians fought for the North, while 35,000 joined the South. Wow. That's insane. The Civil War was absolutely, absolutely bloody. It was a very, very bloody battle. Or a very bloody war that lasted for years. And it's just really interesting it's really interesting to learn about. It's really interesting to know that these events happen, and know that that's what made what it is today. And when you go to visit these places like Gettysburg and Little Bighorn and all these battlefields and everything, you really do feel that energy. And when I learn about history, I get to my my paranormal side, because it is a paranormal. It is like the spiritual, ghostly side of it. And these battles did happen. These people were here. They did walk on this earth like you and I did. You know, you go to cemeteries and you see like the really, really old cemeteries, like the ones that are like 1836, 1849, 1860s. And you're walking on these gravestones, you're walking on these plots, these whatever. And these people were actually here. They walked on this earth like you and I do right now. And it's just really interesting to learn about. It's interesting to know that these people actually existed, that these events happened. You can't fake that, you know, even if you try. So you can go to these places. You can see these places for yourself. You can go to Gettysburg. You can go to DeSmet, where Little House or Laura Ingalls Wilder, all of this. And it's just really fascinating. It's fascinating to know that these people were here before us, and they kind of laid the land out for us, and they laid out what happened from that point on and everything. And it's just really interesting to learn about. So that's what I got for you guys on this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned a little bit, something new that you didn't know before. And you can tell your friends that you learned something new today. You learned about the flag in 1777. You learned about Germany getting their asses kicked. And you learned about the Confederates entering Kentucky. So this was an amazing podcast. I know I kind of rushed it a little bit. Like I said, I haven't done a podcast in quite a while. So I was kind of like edgy. I was like, I realized that I was edgy, and I was like, oh my gosh. So this is going to be a really nice series. I'm really hoping that I can keep doing this. And if you guys do want more of this, let me know. And I will throw up some more history podcasts. But that's all I got for you guys. Thank you for listening. And have an amazing rest of your day.